Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. You know, our previous speakers were all very knowledgeable soil chemists and soil physicists, and I'm just a soil fertility kind of guy, so my approach is going to be a lot more practical than what we've heard to date. But I'm glad they went before me to prove that what I'm going to say has good, strong science base to it. But we wanted to look at how does gypsum use as a tool to reduce phosphorus losses from manure. But since I'm from Alabama, our big problem, our big industry in Alabama is poultry, so we concentrate on the poultry end of this. So we've heard a lot about the benefits of gypsum. The ones that I think that are important for has to do with the phosphorus runoff would be it improves that water infiltration. The more water you have moving in, the less you have moving off the field in runoff. To control the erosion and the crusting, that prevents, if you're holding that soil on the soil, you're preventing losses of phosphorus, and then reduce the contaminants in the water itself. So we started this as a concern because water quality is a big problem. We heard about the issues that they're having in Lake Erie right now. 45% of the rivers are impaired, 47% of the lakes. Agriculture is considered the major contributor to this water problem, and phosphorus losses from agriculture is the number one concern in most of these freshwater lakes. And the poultry industry in Alabama, especially in the other southern states like Georgia and Mississippi and Arkansas, are a major concern about this contribution. So we want to try to keep our waters clean and away from that looking like you see in the lower part of that screen. So how can gypsum be a component of that? Well, the formation of the calcium-phosphorus complex, forming insoluble forms of the phosphorus, the top that we just talked about is how the calcium being available moves that to forms that are less soluble. Therefore, they're not forming this component that can be taken up by the cause problems by uptake of the algae in lakes and rivers, and therefore prevents it from becoming an environmental concern. And so we wanted to know if FPG gypsum could be used in this purpose. So we had we formed a multi-location gypsum study from I'm part of the Agriculture Research Service, part of USDA. We had three different locations that were involved in this, and we wanted to see if FGD gypsum could be improve crop and forage production and also reduce the phosphorus loss in erodible soils in the south. We wanted to establish the rates of FGD gypsum in poultry litter, document the improvements in water quality, and develop guidelines for the use of it. There was three locations involved, but I'm going to talk today mainly about the two locations, one in Watkinsville, which dealt with, and there's a couple of names missing from that, because you heard that Dr. Jenkins gave a talk was based on this study, and also Dory that's in the audience. But these are the two people that Harry did head it up, and now Dinku is heading up the efforts, and then the National Soil Dynamics Lab in Auburn, Alabama, Dexter Watts is heading up that part. I'm going to talk about these two because the third location did not use poultry litter as part of their project, and in the study were similar. The main difference is that the Watkinsville was on a Piedmont soil and the Auburn study was on a coastal plain soil. So this is some pictures of the plots in the two different locations. You can see that we were, in both cases, we were looking at pastures. And the study was basically every combination of zero up to 6 tons of poultry litter, and zero down to up to 4 tons of gypsum. And we did this study in all the combinations to try to see how that impacted the yield. And so, and as part of that, we did rainfall simulation to look at the water quality ends. Here's some pictures of some of us, most of the pictures on the bottom there are from the Watkinsville operations. But for the rainfall simulation, we took a specific subset that we thought would let us focus on the real problems of poultry litter. So we only used the highest rate of poultry litter, and so that we could eliminate it down to plots, the number that we could handle. So within the 6 tons per acre of poultry litter, we had 0, 1, 2, and 4 tons per acre of the gypsum. And then we also, as a control, had no gypsum, no poultry litter, and also a no poultry litter but 4 tons of gypsum. So we'd have a really adequate control to look at what was going on. So for these, we did sampling. We generated a level of rainfall that would generate runoff. We let that runoff last for at least an hour, and we took time samples every 10 minutes so we can see how the effects were, if there was any change over time. We also took a cumulative sample so that we can look at what the impact was over the whole span of the hour rainfall simulation. We also looked at filtered and unfiltered samples, so we could get the unfiltered would be the total on nutrients, so it would include the erosion component, and the filtered would be the dissolved components of the phosphorus and other nutrients. And just a optical change, you can see that on the left is where we added some gypsum, on the right was where we didn't add gypsum. You can see just visually that we were getting the impact from having that gypsum there. But we also were getting some impact to infiltration. And this data is from the Watkinsville study, looking at the percent runoff that you have during the time. They at Watkinsville, they did 2 different years. 2009 and 2011. In both years, they were demonstrated increased infiltration or a reduction in runoff from having the gypsum applied. The top line you see in each case is where we didn't apply gypsum, and as you increase the rate of gypsum, you increase the rate of infiltration or a reduction in runoff. And they saw this in both years. However, we did not see it on the sandy soils of the coastal plains. We did not see any significant change in the amount of infiltration. The Piedmont soils have a higher content of clay in it. We believe that lended itself to the structural changes that we gypsum will do, and therefore you see these types of positive physical improvements that translates into infiltration. So what do we find in the actual runoff? I started out with this slide. It just gives the concentration of calcium just to demonstrate if you add a soluble form of calcium, you would expect to see more calcium in the runoff, and this is more or less what this demonstrates. What you can see is when we had no calcium, no manure, we got very little calcium runoff. When we added 4 tons of gypsum, we get a huge slug of calcium that comes off. If we add manure with no gypsum, the manure itself or the poultry litter has calcium in it, so we did have some increase in calcium due to the poultry litter itself. And then as we increase the rate of gypsum, we steadily increase the level of calcium, just as you would expect when you were forming a soluble calcium application. But when we look at soluble phosphorus, we see that we were positively impacting how much phosphorus was in that runoff. When we had no manure, no gypsum, we had hardly any phosphorus. We added some gypsum to that, even that was less. We went down to zero. This didn't below detection limit. This indicates that even on soils that have legacy phosphorus, that you can have a positive impact to reducing the phosphorus that's in that runoff. But when we added manure, you can see we greatly increased the concentration of phosphorus. And then because you have a fresh form of phosphorus that's on the soil surface that's directly interacting with that runoff. As we increased the rate of gypsum, we steadily decreased the level of phosphorus that was in runoff. So, similar results. That particular slide was from our Auburn data. This is a slide from the 2 years of data from our Watkinsville, and you can see similar results. The top line is where you added manure, and as you added more gypsum, you reduced the level of phosphorus that you were having over the time of that runoff. Now, what you might notice is that they had a lot better effect of that in 2009 than they did in 2011. But the reason for that was there was a big place in time when they applied the gypsum versus when they applied the manure. The gypsum went on first. They were expecting to have the manure put on the next day. Unexpectedly, the source of their poultry litter was quarantined due to a disease outbreak, and it was several weeks later before they had the poultry litter delivered so they could put these treatments on. In that separation of having the gypsum on several weeks before you actually had your manure and you weren't putting the gypsum on top of the manure reduced the effectiveness of the gypsum, although we did still see a very positive effect. And that's why we, in our standard, we say that you need to put the gypsum on at the same time as you do your manure to make sure that you're getting the full effectiveness of it for the process. But I wanted to also talk about how this might be impacted over time. So we looked at Auburn. We had three different time periods that we did rainfall simulation. In each case, we divided up in a lot different time where the rainfall was happening versus when we applied the treatments. This is what I would call our worst case scenario. In this particular case, we applied the gypsum and the manure treatment, and that same day we did rainfall simulation. So it was absolutely the worst case that you could have a runoff event the same day that you applied your manure, and so that all the phosphorus is readily available that's in that manure to be subject to be in the runoff. And what you can see is we had a tremendous impact of having the gypsum applied up at the top. You can see we start here with no gypsum application, just the manure. And you see that we had up to, between 36 and 40 parts per million phosphorus in that runoff. As we increased the gypsum application, that greatly was reduced. This was the 10-minute sampling. We saw the same thing. You reduced a little bit over time as some of the phosphorus was moved off. Later on, at the 60 minutes, you weren't getting as much phosphorus, but you were still getting substantial phosphorus, and the gypsum was still effective at reducing that amount that you were seeing. So if we look at the cumulative effect, we could calculate like a 58% reduction in the amount of phosphorus that we were losing with a grid regression analysis that we did on this study. So we also did a more intermediate conditions. This rainfall simulation was done 6 weeks after we applied the gypsum and the manure. And during that 6 weeks period, we'd had substantial rain. We'd had over 5 inches of rain that had occurred. And so a lot of the manure and the had time to move through the soil. We even had some runoff events during that 5 inches. And so then we did a simulation on these controlled conditions to see what we have. And while the total level of phosphorus that's leaving was greatly reduced, tenfold smaller, we were still getting substantial phosphorus losses when we just looked at the manure without gypsum. And the gypsum greatly impacted this reduction in the same way as that we were seeing when we did it immediately. And again, at the cumulative of this, we were seeing about a 50% reduction. And with most of that occurring at the 2 tons per acre level, we were getting almost all of the impact of the gypsum. So that's why we feel like that 2 tons per acre rate is a very effective rate of getting substantial amounts of this reduction. And then the final one we did is at the third year of the study, and then at the end of the growing season, we did one last simulation. So the manure had actually been put on and the gypsum treatment 6 months earlier at the beginning of when the grass started to grow, and this was at after the the grass had been cut several times and had finished its growing season. And again, we see that the rates of very small phosphorus compared to what we had when we did that worst case scenario, but we still see a persistent reduction in the amount of phosphorus that we're losing with our gypsum treatment over the time of the study. And in this case, we're documenting the 34% reduction in the level of phosphorus over that cumulative sample time. One other study that we did, this is a different way of looking at it, and this was to look at using gypsum not as over across the whole field, but one if we just treated the phosphorus, just treated the gypsum that was in a filter strip, and used the filter strips are commonly used to remove sediment and runoff losses, and we thought, well, maybe we could just use the gypsum in that component. And in this case, what we found is that if we had a buffer strip, we were effective at removing some of the phosphorus. Up to about 15% phosphorus was removed from the runoff. But when we added gypsum to that, we greatly increased the effectiveness of that buffer strip up to about 40% of the phosphorus being removed. And just a quick precursor to Dr. Chaney's talk in a minute, we did do these runoff samples. We did analyze for heavy metals, mercury being one of them. We did not detect any mercury in these runoff samples, and we also did not detect any of these other elements or any of these dissolved elements. This was our first runoff study that was done by a EPA licensed lab, but Dr. Chaney pointed out that they did not do the concentrations sufficiently low enough to meet what we would need for the risk assessment, so he redid the ball at a very much lower level of concentration, which he's going to talk about, that would prepare this for the scrutiny that we would need for a risk assessment. So I'll finish up with just talking about how we've moved through this in the Alabama. Alabama has adopted the use of gypsum as a best management practice by their Extension Service. This is a document that shows that where it was published as best management practice. And the conclusion is that gypsum can be used as a best management practice to reduce phosphorus losses from agricultural fields, specifically when they have high phosphorus use from manure applications. And they have recommended that the Alabama Phosphorus Index adopt this. And in fact, just published, this says March of 2013, that's not when it was officially adopted. I think it was adopted in October. And so, I'm going to go through real quickly. The Alabama Phosphorus Index is part of the NRCS 590 plan, has application of other products with litter that may reduce phosphorus risk. That specifically includes gypsum. And if you look at the phosphorus index, it says treated with chemicals to reduce phosphorus solubility, or the field has application of gypsum, should be considered as incorporated. So what that translates into, if you look at the spreadsheet that makes up part of the phosphorus index in Alabama, it shifts the, you can consider it as same as being incorporated. So when you're doing that, let's see if I can get it to move. When you're doing your test, that comes in here. So instead of being very high as far as the risk assessment, it drops it down to incorporated. So you can see it says incorporated, injected, or surface applied treated. So that's specifically referring to gypsum. So with that, I'll say that gypsum should be considered best management practice to reduce solubility P losses. And when co-applied with poultry litter, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.